Yeah, you must become the king of the country right away, so nobody can argue with you what you took. Two, you marry it.
Mark, you win and I'll marry you.
Three, you inherit it.
What?
You inherit it. Four, you invent something and everybody wants to buy it. Five, you find it, it doesn't belong to nobody. You can sell it, make a fortune. Six, once they are offering it to the public to win by virtue of chance, you're entitled to win it because you didn't steal it.
Great. Oh, I like that. I was getting worried. I was on number five and I was thinking, oh, God, we're doing bad.
Conditions of
but everybody's prosperity. Entitled to win.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all entitled. Millions of people are entitled to win.
We always buy one for you.
That's right. You see, the first one, we say, if you steal it, make sure you're the king of the country. You see, because you control the law.
And then you can make it not stealing.
That's right.
Going stealing for yourself.
You see, you can only do it once. All the others are optional. You can marry it, you can inherit it, you can find it, you can invent something, and you can win, because these are...
What about a gift?
That's in...
No, it'd be inheritance.
Inheritance. So... the only one that is has a condition of being wrong is the first one. But make sure if you do it, you're the king of the country.
Yeah.
But all the other five are you're entitled to.
So do you have any favorite numbers?
If I have a favorite number,
quick, Mark, you can
throw a few out. You
of course she did. You
write
it down.
You don't have any favorite numbers?
Yeah,
I
have
from 0 to 9.
See, I use my own number. It's 10, 1 and a 0. The day you're born, the month you're born, and the year you're born, you add it up right across. That's your number.
The year including 19 in front of it?
That's right.
Okay.
The day you're born,
the month you're born, and the year you're born. And that is your number.
But if yours is 10, for example, it's really only 1, isn't it? Or if you go as high as that 0, 1 plus 0 becomes 1. No?
Right. So? So I either go 1 or 10. And so my place is 109. 127 Richmond Avenue, room 109.
Well, I did something last night. I dropped my keys out of my pocket accidentally, and I crossed off the top of the railing, the bottom of the railing, and the step. And the sounds that the three things made were the first three notes of the nutcracker sweep.
Good.
years and put the Nutcracker Suite in an alphabetic progression and added it all up when I made a number of that.
He is so creative.
That's perfect. Perfect.
So what number did you come up with?
Well, if I told everybody, then we can all win a FOIA for the prize.
Wouldn't that be fun? Jen would still marry you. Right.
Let's see, I figured it out that it was a 9. The grand total had to be a 9. So it totaled up to 99 because 9 plus 9 is 18 and 1 plus 8 is 9. That's how it went. Started with 1.
There.
Well, you see, again, if you go by the process of, that's the Western astrology, you see. Then if you go Eastern astrology, it's 1 to 12. Which one of the 12 you came in, that's your number. I came in on the rat, so I'm still a 1. See. So, but every human being is a number, like it or not. They may call themselves years old and die, or they can call themselves revolutions and live a little longer, or call yourself a number and be here eternally.
What's your birthday, Jane? 12/4.
No, you see, if you're 12 and 4 is 16, 6 and 1 is a 7, 9 and 1 is 10, and 7 is 17, 7 and 1 is 8. 44 is 8, 8 and 8 is 16, you're a 7.
42,
then take off 2.
five.
You're right.
Five.
That's
five.
The
number.
So, you're a 5. You're the 5 horses.
Watch the news, come alive.
2 times 5, is, didn't God put it together?
Half a 10. I'll take that.
You know, they say Friday is the 5th day of the week. Or is the 6th day of the week?
6th.
Sunday is the 1st day.
Sunday is the 1st day, right? Then Friday is the 6th day. Then you're a Thursday child. That's 5 for the Thursday. So the grass is always green on the other side.
It's a project for me. Incarnational defect.
You'll always feel you lost it someplace other than right next to you.
Yeah, because I think I said, is it in the house?
9 times out of 10, you'll always think it's someplace else you left it.
So then I'm influencing it?
Well, we think that way.
You just think
that way. We never think of leaving a thing in the house,
well,
or
see,
forgetting
it
in the house.
I thought it was in the house, but I looked at everything. But it was kind of like in the spread there, and I couldn't find it. And I looked in every drawer, every surface.
Well, a friend of mine had the same phenomena with their bracelet. And they put it down. And they could turn around, they couldn't find it. And for months they kept calling and said they couldn't find it. And I said to them, it's there, you'll find it. And one day, out of the clear blue, she decides to clean her bedroom. And while cleaning the bedroom, right at the side of the bed, between the board and the mattress, there sticks the policeman.
Well, what happens when you draw a coin and you say, is it in the house, is it in this room? And it says no. That's why I don't, you know, I feel like...
Well, you're dealing with magnetism. So whenever you're asking a question like that, you're trying to line up. It's like radionics. You're lining up a magnetic connection to an ID. The object is made of minerals. Your ID is a sonic resonance. You're trying to line up magnetically with the object by talking to yourself. And therefore, the right brain and the left brain is always going to be in contrast, but trust which one of the sonics it would live. This has been going on from the dawn of time when man was created. He doesn't know how to trust the right or the left brain. So he developed every known method to ask questions to respond. We go to the walk-ins today. We go to the oracles. We go to every individual. How to have what is called a psychological radar capability to answer functional behavior. And so ancient man flipped the coin, twiddled the pendulum, and wherever you want to be, it still comes back. The brain associating with an element through a sonic connectiveness and a memory function. So you are not the only one in this dilemma. Even Brother Jesus was in the same dilemma. Father, remove this cup. Not my will, but thy will be done. He was still stuck with the right brain, left brain confrontation. So you see, flipping the coin or shaking something or doing it, these will always be with man or woman to make decision in terms of elemental references. So it's nothing wrong. The oracles were there. All the fortune tellers are there. All the walk-ins are there. All the communicants with the saints are there. For what? How to act tomorrow before it happens. You get it? We don't live in a now, and so we live tomorrow. But I'm going to give you a Christmas present tonight. You can do what you like with it. Jesus lived on this planet. He lay down on a boat. And while he was sleeping, the boat was sinking because the wind was pushing it into the river. His disciples worried and panicked. And he got up and he said, O ye of little faith. But then he looked at the wind and he said, be still. That story is the key to Christ's consciousness in all of us. Not in the others apply to Christ consciousness. Only that story. And it goes right back to the creation of the human being. Only initiate gets this knowledge. A non-initiate outside can't get it. Come, let us make a manifestation. The elements are in a state of chaos. They collect into a state of functional behavior called manifestation. You and I are a manifestation of a functional order called the individual nature. The creative intelligence, which is the memory bank, stored in you to feel your existence and assess your existence, will always remind you you are an element composed of elements and will always be an element. And elements only have the right to harass the form. They don't have the right to kill the form because they are composed, the form is composed of those same elements who cannot kill themselves. This form is subjected to the harassment, you call it the devil. It only has one gift, no other. That one gift is called the Christ. Dominion over the element. It can tell the elements to play somewhere else, but it can't tell them not to exist. Therefore, you and everyone that has this knowledge is immortal and will always be immortal. And that is the gift of Christ to you from the Father, not the man Jesus. You were not ready for the understanding and you were not ready to apply it. You got it. I'm not your guru. Perfect timing. Use it. When you get out in the elemental area and they're harassing the environment, you have a right to travel through unhurt, but you can't tell it not to exist. You can't win it, but you can enjoy it right up to midnight eternity. There is no power greater than the understanding of that. The dollar bill is made of elements. The ink is made of elements. You worrying about it? So Brother Jesus says, the worst thing you can do is fall asleep. Then the elements can unplug you. But they don't have the right to kill you. You can't own them, but you can tell them to play somewhere else. Those who've traveled with me see it all the time. And he's asking me, about, what rain and snow? I don't see them. You're entitled to it as an initiate, not a non-initiate. That's why Jesus said, unto you are given the keys of the kingdom, unto the masses never, unto the greater glory of God you live in the now. The non-initiate cannot have that, and that's your Christmas present to you. I'm not your guru, I'm your brother. But we are here till midnight eternity to be cosmic security guards.
Just like Santa Claus.
That's right. So you understand, and therefore, all the other things that you were doing before, you don't need them anymore. Because you can't live tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't come, you can only live now. And that's Christ consciousness. It's not something you arrive at or something somebody gives you, it's something you become conscious that you have. But you didn't recognize it all these centuries. now that you recognize it, enjoy it. So I have a friend who lives in Flagstaff who has a house, and every day is Christmas for her, 7 days a week. And the place is dressed up like a Christmas tree. She's a doctor. I don't know if you folks ever heard of her. Her name is Dr. Percent. Percent. But you go to her house, it's dressed up like this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And she lives in the Christ consciousness. In their language, they call it Krishna consciousness. Not something you're striving to get. The churches may fool you till you're ready to recognize what it is. When you recognize what it is, then you have it. You're put together by the elements. They have certain rules to obey, and you have certain rules to obey. So a reciprocal exchange occurs between the two of us. And that's why Paul wanted understanding and not the magic no more. And the understanding is the power. How to live it. By the same token, you can start the cleaning up process of those who are aggressive against one another and provide work for where they don't have any. So you send the weather to the area where they need it to work. But they don't have right to mess up where you play. Where you play is supposed to be comfortable for you to exist as an initiate. Happy Christmas.
Lately, there's just been, you know, as I go in the dark room, I put the negative in the enlarger, put it on the baseboard, and you get it right. And I'm looking at the negative image, you know, the reverse image of a weapon, about 1,000 times a week. I'm about ready to think of bringing a frankincense into my dark room, but the oils that the incense would give off and stick in my lenses. So I can't. But it's done a great job of bothering me, or I've had. Now they're
just helping. That's the principle underlying it. They have a right to harass you. They don't have a right to kill you. Because they'll be killing themselves. They exist inside of you at 144. And they are held together by a personality called a form, geometry. This form and geometry or personality has the power to tell it to play somewhere else. But it can't own them. And it can't tell it not to exist. So Brother Jesus gave the simple demonstration to his own disciples and left them to wander. And so, when Lazarus didn't want to respond, he demonstrated that the elements don't have a right to what? He told him, come on, get the hell out of here.
Go around somewhere else.
Yeah. But he proved everything there is to prove for the initiate. So the initiate is given that investiture. That's why they're called the builders or the sons of God. S-U-N. The internal life. So, meditation is not something you sit down and close your eyes anymore. Meditation is living in the now, involving the reciprocal exchange with your environment. The crystals, the water, temperature, the gases, and you have control by it. Right? No one can take it away from you because you were endowed with it from the dawn of creation. But you forgot it. So when he said, as many as receive me, to them gave he the power, he was inferring the understanding. And even those who came after, years after, relating to it, would get the understanding of what it is. You're noticing events in the world are changing more as initiates become conscious of their actual nature and the environment to which others are functioning in. And they are setting up the correct thought processes for the correction of the misapplied decisions of the non-initiates. More and more you'll see it transforming itself in your news media. I said they have every right to harass you, except they don't have the right to do. And those who are hurt in that process, they are the ones who are already setting up the thought of living to die. Those who are not hurt and pass through it are working with the thoughts of living to live. So the law of karma is satisfied. The reciprocal exchange between the elements and the geometry continues to express itself, and the geometry has the authority to direct the impact of the element. And the element has every right to do what it's designed to do, and it adheres to its own laws. After you understand it, you see why living in the now is the greatest opportunity. And it's not a holier-than-thou attitude, so don't go giving that kind of charade. Very humorous. It's the most humorous existence there is.
Holier than now?
Hmm?
Holier than now is humorous?
Yeah. If they're giving you the gift, is there such a thing as death?
Well, physical.
Friend, Jesus took Lazarus out of the grave. And while Lazarus was walking in full acceptance, there was a man called Saul who was making money, turning in people for the sake of not cooperating with the Roman government. Lazarus was one such man, and he was killed by this man called Saul a second time. And that second time occurred after Lazarus came out of the grave. That man called Saul collected his money and was heading down the road to Damascus to round up some more people who believe in that Jewish jerk. And on his way, he fell off his horse, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" And he was blind, and from that moment he was transformed from a killer to a holier-than-thou individual. For the rest of 6 months in the home of Joseph of Arimathea, Ananias, he began to go through what is called born-again programs. Then when the sight returned back to him, he came to the full understanding that the miracles were not the truth. The understanding was the truth. That's when he got the understanding of what I just told you about the elements. And he said, "Now I live and die daily in the Lord." But he used the word die. There is no dying. It's living and functioning in the Lord daily. So he decided he was going to be a tent maker to earn his livelihood. And the moment he got up to go out establish his livelihood, they crucified him. To this day, his body doesn't rot, but he was a threat to the Roman Empire because he caused every employed individual to be self-employed, and they didn't want that in those days. They weren't ready for that type of thinking. The Christ-realized person works for himself. But it's the understanding. But he actually did kill Lazarus the second time. That same soul. Lazarus was raised from the dead by the brother Jesus as a teacher, teaching that there was nothing there. He caused him to shut down. He was the rich man that wanted to know the truth. And he was told, go sell everything and follow me. That's one of the hardest things to do. Disengage your brain from possession. And possession of ownership of elements. But until he went through what is called an apparent death experience to show him that he can't own anything in a state of unconsciousness, he was free from that particular attitude. But he didn't live too long after that, because Saul was a man working for the Roman government trying to round up people for money. And he caught Lazarus unarmed. And Lazarus refused to admit to the harassment, and he killed Lazarus. Because he heard of Lazarus coming from the grave. He said, I'm going to show you why that guy's a jerk. And he killed him with a knife. But by that time, Jesus was already nailed to the cross. But he confronted Saul in another way to show him that life doesn't end. And the evidence we have today is that the body didn't rot, and the other body can't be found. But if you live with the idea of living to die, you die. You're entitled. I can't deprive you of the right to think that way. But if you live with the idea of live to live, then you understand what I just told you about the gift. The gift is yours. Has been and always will be from the dawn of creation. It's put into the form to recognize its true nature. That's why it's called Son of. Not a person, a principle. But it has to be hidden in such a simple way that only the realized person can recognize it. As they say, truth is too obvious and too simple. And while we work around and search for all type of ways to arrive at the so-called powerful experience, the actual truth is so simple. When you're told what it is, then you see what you got. But this is only for the initiative.
We have the power really to command the elements. Why are we concerned about
good. You have three opportunities. The way it grows, lunar, wrong time and bless it, or wrong time and don't bless it. Wrong time and don't bless it, don't ask nobody for help after you get sick. Wrong time and bless it is good for 24 hours. Lunar is good for 7 days around the full moon by the pressure. And solar is 21 days the way the light grows. That is ecological discipline set up by the elements to harass you, to discipline you. Set up by the lunar function to harass you and discipline you. master charge as a compensation for your ignorance, trying to fool yourself that you're going to get around it. But if you don't use master charge, you don't use the other two, be my guest, wrong time and don't bless it, they bury you. Why would he waste his time to feed people the night before you die? And of all the miracles that he's doing, how many dead people can you raise versus how many people need to eat? You're quicker kill to put something in your mouth. And that's been true from the dawn of time. And that's why man was told, eat everything. Now if you were to create a man or a woman, and you were the creator, how old would you create them? How old would you create them? But you can't take care of themselves if there's no environment for them to live in. So what are you going to make first? And if you make an environment, are you going to give the environment the right to destroy each other? Good. If you make an environment to harmonize each other, then out of the environment you're going to make a structure to house the what? The contents of the environment in it? Can the contents of the environment destroy the contents of the house?
Yes.
How? Then they're not reciprocal no more.
The contents of the environment?
Mm-hmm. Does it have the right to destroy the contents in the house?
They destroy the shape of the house, but not the elements in the house.
That's what harassment is. What is the shape now?
Rubble.
Your shape is held together by sonic resonance of the 144 elements. Disengage that resonance and the 144 elements will continue to constrict and dilate and you will have no shape. But they will not stop constricting and dilating. Then when you reapply the resonance, those elements, constricting and dilating, will get together to make another shape. That's the reciprocal exchange. And the shape is endowed with the power to tell the elements where to play. But it can't tell the elements not to exist. And the elements can't tell the elements inside the shape. It has the right to kill it. Otherwise they're killing themselves. No element can kill itself. But it can disengage from its own shape by resonance. And the resonance is given to you, the shape, to have dominion over the element that is constricting and dilating outside and inside of you.
What force is given the elements in the direction to do that?
Sonics. In the beginning was the Word. That's right. So you have dominion. Dominion is to exercise the Word. A dead man can have dominion over elements. A living man has dominion by the spoken Word. But what is a living man? Not an intelligent man. A living man is a breathing man. And dominion means to tell the element, don't mess up where you are. But it doesn't say it has the right to kill you, and you can't say to the element, don't exist.
You have to always stop.
Right. Yeah. Go play somewhere else, don't play where I play.
Get a box,
it's too simple. And that's why Jesus says, the meek will inherit it, the intelligent never. And unless you become like one of these, you can't understand it. Meaning, simple facts of how it's put together. I know it's very mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing because it doesn't give you no ego anymore, and it doesn't make you important. But you know something? If you apply it, they can't bury you. Because you have 24 qualities. One of it is you don't rot like a caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. That's number one. Number two, they'll wonder where the hell you've gone. They can't prove you were here, but they know you sure left a lot of junk. Number three, he can waste all night photographing and never record it. So that's number three. You see, years ago when I had to go and get the medical examination, the doctor called my ex-wife and says, I can't understand. Your husband doesn't photograph the upper portion of his lungs. We don't have a copy to show with them. We don't understand it. She then called me on the phone and said, what are you doing in Anna? The man took four pictures of you twice, and the upper part of your lungs don't photograph, only the bottom, just a little lobe of it. Quit playing those games. Let's get the thing for the medical insurance. We need it. So I went back. He examined the photograph. Had perfect pictures. And he's still scratching his head to this day. What the hell happened? But you see, my contention was the elements have a right to harass, they don't have a right to kill. And I'm enjoying the phenomenon of it not appearing on the X-ray machine. Fred. Did you have dominion over it? I didn't say it shouldn't exist. I just said, look, no, show up where I'm playing right now. So that blue is cool.
Are these pictures going to show up tonight?
Bob, Lahiri did that, but this one is all right. No, but the two things is, Christ consciousness is not something you're working for. It's an authority principle over the elements in the environment in which you live. That's why Jesus and all these men who understood it are immortal. They understood, that's the whole thing. And they have the 24 options to make this reality a reality. So the first three we know of, and it's on record, a non-decaying mechanism, no record of the body where it's gone, and it can appear and disappear at will, so you can't even photograph it. And that's what he did to his disciples when he came back and let them look at him. He ate food with them and he took off. So in all of those 12 men, except Judas, and he didn't rot either too, because he was part of the process. He had to do that betrayal because that was the role he chose to work through. He didn't rot either. But that was, Jesus had to take care of all of it. The other 11, even when they died, to go through what they call death, some of them you can't find their bodies. Take John, who wrote the book of Revelations. There's no evidence of his body. They cook him in oil, in a barrel of oil. The king that wanted to make sure he was going to get even with him, with his beliefs, because they actually put him in the oil and they boil the oil and he just walk around with the command. So he banished him to an island called Samos, where he wrote the book of Revelations. And when he finished writing the book, he left it right there at the edge of the mountain. It's a funny joke. The joke is this. The water is coming up to the island of Samos. This is the edge of the mountain. It's about 60 yards to the water. Normally it would feel the body walking out to the ocean, they feel comfortable in the ocean, right? But there's a down in the same house as there. There's a secret spot. There's a mountain here. And at the head of the mountain is a pile of scrolls. They call the Book of Revelation, so we got to be in house. And they don't know where they had to put it, go through the wall. Because only the back end of the hill is showing in the rock. Question is, did somebody open the door in the wall to let John in? No, Kabir did this too. And Kabir lived around 1600. He came to help Hindus and Muslims to resolve their anguish between each other. And after many years of working with them, he finally decided he could say tata and go back to the element. And so he lay down in a coffin. The Hindu says, we better burn this guy because that's the tradition we grew up in. The Muslim says, no, we got to bury him. That's the tradition we grew up in. And so they argue back and forth to bury and burn, to bury and burn. And Kabir woke up and looked at them. He shook his head and walked into the wall. Now he left them two roses. The Hindu took their roses and cooked it, and the Muslim took theirs and buried it. The empty coffin is still there in the mountain there are at. So we see a lot of these men have the Christ consciousness in them. They understood it, and they're laughing at us because why? We're still fixated. We got to go someplace to get Christ or Krishna consciousness. When in actuality, it's your input dominion over the universe, not over a single item. Go forth, multiply, or Xerox yourself if you want, and have dominion over the universe. Means regulate how you want to play and where you want to play. But don't try to own it, because you can't own it, and don't try to tell it it can't exist. And those elements have every right to harass you, because they're harassing who? Themselves inside of you as elements. And you are only the cohesive geometry held together by sound waves. But you talk to yourself, and you call yourself Janelle, Adano, William. Sound asleep last night, you can't call yourself nothing. And that's the only thing that the individual consciousness is criticized by, the Christ consciousness, falling asleep on the job.
But what we're looking for is understanding.
Yes, it's called the fruit of spirit. Brother Jesus knew it, Paul said it, but it's taken us a long time to eat it. So when you eat the fruit, of understanding, you live it, because that's what the initiate life is. So the initiate life is not performing miracles or doing anything or trying to impress anybody. The initiate life is knowing that now is life eternal, and that you are the cohesive principle that holds it together. So God became his own self. So you are God, not a God. But it's difficult for your intellect to accept the principle of your totality, because you remember how stupid you were in the last 40 or 50 years.
So every now and then we get this next. It's like you get more understanding.
Understanding is the umbrella you stand under against the verbal rain. You understand?
Not totally.
Understanding is the umbrella you stand under against the verbal rain. Your brain can't take verbal rain. It crumbles into emotional conflict. To do or not to do, to do or not to do, to do or not to do, to do or not to do. Pip, 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 this, pip, pip, pip. So what are you going to do now? So you're looking for an umbrella to cut out the shield, the verbal rain? That's understanding. And understanding allows you to realize you have every right to live. And you have every right to tell the elements play somewhere else. And they have every right to harass you, but they can't kill you. And you can't own them. So between the two conditions of a reciprocal exchange, you can enjoy now. So we are children of the Hare family. Mr. Hare is called Fat, and Mrs. Hare is called Mutt. And we children are called Be. We live in a house called Now. And we got everything to do with our mouth, but from now till midnight eternity, no matter how we say it, it's still going to be with the mouth. And that's our freedom, and that's our eternity, because if Mr. Hare and Mrs. Hare are eternal, who would sit down to wait for their people? But be my guest, live to die, to find out Big Daddy and Mama ain't sitting waiting to know their people. And he's his own big harasser. He likes to play games to harass you. So he's his own devil. But we, the children that come out to play the game, we can get trapped in the who and the what. The who will make us live to die, and the what will make us live to live. So who you are is not important, is what you are. Because what you are accepts everybody here as brothers and sisters. Who you are accepts everybody here, me important. Right? That's the who. So nobody here is brothers and sisters. That's the who. But the what, you know. Centuries have passed, and Jesus have lived. Krishna, Gopal, and all these men have lived. Yogananda have all lived. And they all had Christ consciousness. But they could not give it prematurely. We're approaching the Aquarian cycle in another 12 more years. And it's speeding us up, where many people who are non-initiates are waking up to an understanding dormant in themselves that is already surprising the initiate who has been working it for years. And they are coming up with the intuitive awareness of statements that are mind-blowing to the initiate. Where did these non-initiates get these insight from? It's the intent of the creative consciousness that we all wake up to what we are. He's just trying to give you a head start. But all around his brothers and sisters, some are like chicken eggs, some are like turtle eggs, and some are like dinosaur eggs. Chicken eggs take 21 days to hatch, turtle eggs take 90 days to hatch, and dinosaurs a heck of a long time. So, the sooner you understand what you are, the more you exercise your Christ nature in the now. It's not some place you're going to. It's not some place you came from. It's an investiture of your consciousness of what you are now. But you have to recognize it as that is in you. Then you can apply it to the environment. Because that's your job. Every realized person knows endless service or the selfless service is in and out. And they're not having illusions of going to live to die. Because those ideas are erroneous. They know they function as conscious life in the now, made up of elements that don't have the power to destroy itself other than to harass itself. And the geometry called the individuality or the personality understands it has the power of the spoken word to direct the behavior of the elements, but it can't tell it not to exist. In other words, out of the chaos bundle of letters, you can organize a word and make a sentence. When you write C-A-T, cat, have you ever examined your brain where you store C and A and T? But you know when you're called to spell it and write it, you put it down very fast. You'd be surprised inside it how chaotic it is. What we call it, but organized. To this day, I don't know of any scientist who can take the brain and scan it and find organized index. Isn't that a funny thing? So you get into the what you are instead of the who now. You're finding out that elements appear to have attraction and repulsion at the core of their existence. Attraction you call love and repulsion you call violence. In a tissue mechanism called flesh, you call it passion or devotion. Fancy name for what? Elements repelling and attracting each other by moving too fast or too slow due to the malfunctioning of your breathing.
Well, what in effect is the difference between feeling, so to speak, done by a Christian Science practitioner?
They're all the opportunities to play with the who. And we will never run out of opportunities to play with the who. Because Big Daddy, which is life per se, has no intention to go out of business before midnight eternity. And his business is composed of 144 elements in a chaotic state, playing a game called functional geometry, known as manifestation, and interrelating as a us called attraction and repulsion. come let us make a manifestation, male and female creative. The male is the propulsion and the female is the attraction. It's in you. Two sperms don't make you, two ovums don't make you. A sperm and an ovum make you, and the person next to you is a female body, a sperm and an ovum make them too. The content is the same, the rhythm of the expression differ. To have a contrast in order to have reciprocal exchange. Then it's endowed, two shapes are endowed with a key, like your car, to turn your ignition on. That's the endowment. You're endowed with a spoken word to tell the elements place somewhere else. That's called dominion, not ownership. Don't muck it up for me. But they have every right to harass you. And bend you into any shape you want. Till you decide in your head that they better quit. Or you send them someplace else to play. But you can't tell them not to exist. But you can tell them play somewhere else. That is your right. Until you exercise that right, they'll bend you in any shape they want and make you yell till you tell them to play someplace else. But they don't have a right to kill you unless you believe they can kill you, then you live to die. If you don't accept that fact as a fact, and you know the true fact is that you have dominion over them, they have to back off in the harassment to play somewhere else and let you play your play from now to midnight eternity. So I don't worry about the ecology and all the different things that people are talking about and them. Years ago, I wanted to find out, so I pushed myself to the death door. I wanted to see heaven and hell, and I wanted to see what God and devil look like, only to find out like Omar Khayyam. Heaven is a big place full of pearls on the outside of the gate, and when they push the door open, all the empty oyster shells are waiting for you to throw outside in the garbage bin. And so it was no heaven, a place at all to live in. Hell? Fiery gates, push your way through with an asbestos suit, and the other side is all the wood stacked up to be burning, to keep the place look like hell. And where is Daddy? Daddy, where the hell are you? Inside of you, son, what do you want? I ain't sitting down waiting for dead people. I'm on the right side of your nostril. If you breathe, I'm inside. And if you want to find out miserably I can be to you, try your left side. So Jesus and all the guys who understood the truth ascend to the right side, because this anterior portion of the pituitary gland, and it's called anabolic function, living to live. Posterior portion is the descending side, and catabolic function, live to die. End of the story. Doctor, work with your eyes. He knows for sure. If this one and this one don't line up, what happened to your sight?
So.
Good. We have thrown back to study what we are. We are already Christ realized, but we don't know how to use it. Till we are told how to recognize it. Well, we got it. That's not some place we're going to. There's no renunciation. We don't have a single thing to renounce. We got to pick up and exercise our understanding to our rights as to what we are. So, Brother Jesus said, I came that you may have what? Abundantly? Oh, isn't that an interesting statement? See the statement of understanding? He didn't say, I come that you may die quicker. I have come that you may have life more or what? Abundantly, meaning you don't realize what you got in your mouth and you don't use it. Now, if you use it, the elements can't kill you because they don't have a right to do it. They weren't endowed with a right to kill you. They themselves agreed to put you together. And if they didn't agree to put you together, you wouldn't be put together. You wouldn't have the shape to be inside, to contain them. And if you decided to put you together, they want you to live. They didn't want you to die. Otherwise, they wouldn't put you together in the first place. That's facts. And because they want you to live, they don't know if you really appreciate it until they harass you. I love them. Best thing I got. And so 143 of them, they obey the spoken voice, which is 140, both were sonics. And out of those same 143, 36 are the harassers, they call the radicals. They'll harass you from now till midnight eternity, but they don't have a right to kill you. Unless you say you believe in living to die, then they'll kill you. Because you kill yourself with your own words. They didn't kill you. If you say you're living to live, they understand that because that's the name of the game. They hang around and play with you. Now, outside you see the changing wallpaper. I love it every day because they're constantly put on in the movie out there. But if I feel miserable and then worry about what they're going to do tomorrow and then panic because they're throwing on a little powdered coconut or liquid drops or lots of wind, then I'm the guy who's foolish. I know they have that is their way to play. But where I am playing, if they mess it up too much, I can't function. And I'm given the authority to tell them to play somewhere else because I have to function. And if they didn't agree to put me together in order to function, what the hell are we playing for in the first place? So they agree between themselves to put us together to be a form to play. They harass, we command. We don't own, they enjoy, and we can have mutual exchange. Love yourself. Hug yourself. Enjoy it, because that's your Christmas present. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Naked sunbathing beauties with him, and he's looking outside the picture and telling, he says, "Well, yeah, I just got tired of Rudolph farting in my face one more year."
That's great. I love it. Now we can send Rudolph a bell. Anytime he farts, he'll ring.
That was ridiculous. Where they were talking about cows giving off 800 gallons of methane.
Yes.
Day, and they want to get rid of cows because they were the ones that were getting causing our.
In the ozone. Oh boy.
Well, you know what you can actually answer? They had a whole story article. It was worse than cows, as they say termites. termites actually give off more methane gas than the cows do.
Interesting. But you see, the thing is this: we think we own the ozone, when in actuality the ozone is what? Owning is playing a game with us to make us feel what? Trapped. Sung to sleep, the ozone don't even know you. The church have tried for centuries, and their agricultural language has been an asset to help us come this far in sorting out the who from the what. But the church language, or the agricultural language, breeds guilt, which has a tendency to make you feel sick, and then you act to live to die from remorse. The technical breakthrough was the first real opportunity for the personality to understand what it is in terms of who it is, and therefore the words we use in reference to what we are do not breed guilt, but they breed commitment. You must live now and stop trying to tell yourself you live in tomorrow or reflecting upon yesterday. There is no such validity in those two points of references anymore in what you are. They're only valid in a hoop to foster guilt and remorse and compassion. But in a what, it's not valid, because what is already endowed with its own freedom to express its dignity by, say, play somewhere else. That's the dignity of it. It can't say it don't exist. And it can't say I own. There's no dignity in owning an element. If you say you can own it, they'll bury in it. So that's the ridiculous part of it. So we only have dominion, which is the right to regulate its movement to please our own objective movement in now. What you objectively want to do now, environment will cooperate to serve. That is your right. But you can't own it. You can use it. So Yogananda would say, looking forward to better models. He never say he's going to own it. Better model means there is no end to the creativity in the individual ability to express the unendingness of love. Because it takes love to create an idea or exercise it or release it for the benefit of use. So the more you express it, the more it flows back.
Donald?
Yes, sir.
I'm getting better at staying focused on figuring out and being better than I'm doing. And a friend of mine told me when I find myself projecting or attack, is to ask myself what the feeling is. Would it be more valid to ask myself what?
Now that you know what Christ consciousness is, there's no need for that anymore, because the elements are doing the harassing, not you. The elements harass you inside of you as magnetism, known as attraction or repulsion, to the environmental momentum of the point of reference to a mass. Where you are at that moment in reference to that mass that is the particular electromagnetic field interacting on your mechanism to create this so-called feeling of conflict, panic, and all these things which you call and label psychologically turn out to be only physics in terms of chemistry. We're finding it out more and more that we can plot the graph of a mass to its momentum and position to what the electrical field will do within a certain time. So sin don't exist. Biological harassment in the form of chemistry exists, making you feel incompetent or smart. Make you think you're looking backwards or forwards, when in actuality you're functioning simply from an attraction repulsion rhythm in your mechanism put together by elements whose job is to do that to you. You only have one quality that keeps them stable, is to breed on time. That was a gift. That part was a gift. The 143 elements put you together to make a geometry. The breath of life was given to you as the 144th principle with the power to talk with it. Therefore, to worry about where you are tomorrow or next week, or it ain't any necessary no more. Once you understand what Christ principle is in you, is when you don't understand the Christ principle in you, then you're going to want to worry about focusing. Jesus done said already, when the eyes are single, the whole body is full of light. What more you want? The elements are forced to do what? Light up like a 4th of July in your head. So you tell them, come on, you guys, put on the show, let me see. Tomorrow, yesterday don't exist because it's all now. And what is all now? Light. Does light have geometry or color after you start seeing it? Like my friend Swami Anand says, the day I got the experience, open eyes and open eyes shut, everything, the whole thing was 4th of July. So what the hell did I bargain for? He didn't expect that. After many, many years trying, when he did experience, then he said, you know, I come to realize that the whole thing is based on the fact I was a sperm that got to the ovum and caused the biological ignition in the atom. There is not a single thing here other than reliving the memory of the journey of the sperm to the ovum and reviewing the atomic ignition of the elements holding you together as a form. When you get the understanding and you see it, you laugh because you're eternal. But you didn't know it. And so all the dreams and the different mind experiences that you have, those are the who's. The real what in you is already done, occurred, when this ovum grabbed hold of the sperm and recorded it to put you together. But you got to consciously relive it and not obliviously fall into it like sleep state. You got to be consciously watched through the process of the internal photography. And so you sit back and watch. First you watch, then second you become immersed with the ignition experience. It's called oneness. Then you open and close your eyes, you know there's no tomorrow or yesterday. It's all now. It's Christ consciousness. But you can't take it away from others. You don't have a right. I don't have the right to deprive another person, even though I see in a year from now they're going to go smash up their head against something. I don't have the right to go tell them not to do it. That's their right. That's their individuality. That's their personal privacy. Because they set that up in their own time frame to live those experiences of harassment. And that's why Jesus never went to heal nobody. They came to him when they needed it. Now, if he interfered because he knew, that's the highest form of ego. Therefore, Jesus was not a healer. Jesus was a what? A model of self-integration, making people realize that they integrate themselves back by looking at themselves, but because they couldn't handle it, then they came to him. You wouldn't refuse them when they come, or you wouldn't go at them. Now that doesn't say because you realize yourself as an initiate, you can perform a service to the world around you. So you take up any occupation you want to perform a service, that's fine. But you'll find they have to come to you. Even the man who opened the store to sell the merchandise, doesn't he have to wait till the customer walk in? We can bang at doors, but still the person got to decide. So this is it. The more you realize it, the more you understand it differently.
Yogananda was saying you have to battle against evil.
Let me, I respect Master Yogananda. I studied with him. But Master Yogananda still used agricultural language to describe physics. When will repulsion reconcile with attraction? So, God is his own devil, and he uses man as a model to what? Test him with the right brain and left brain. Now, is the devil before God or after God? Good. Then if he's not here, then where would God reside? Then God is his own devil. Why? You can't start something with one line and not find it coming back to itself. So relativity is inherent. Two ends. If you roll it up in a ball, it wouldn't do a single thing. That's constriction. It'll sit there doing nothing, but one of the problems of constriction is it can't remain constricting without craving to dilate. And if it does dilate, it is forced to have a dualistic expression. There's no way to get around it. And within that dualistic expression, the form that is carrying the dualistic expression is the guinea pig and the scapegoat, caught between a who and a what. Nice paper. Do you buy the paper or you buy the writing that you can read?
Color.
But the information on the paper, after you read it, which do you keep? Yeah, but then you left it on the paper too. So, therefore, what carries it or who carries it? See, therefore, we are always going to play the who, what game. See? As long as you play the who-what game, you're always going to look to tomorrow as some place to get to. And as long as tomorrow is some place to get to, you will age with tomorrow. Then you can start counting in numbers to live yourself tomorrow. then if you don't look tomorrow and you look at momentum as existence, then you stop the aging process, you start enjoying the now in terms of revolutions. But then when you realize revolutions take their origin from frequency, then you realize that you're immortal. From the moment of awareness in the form, and that is frequency. The moment you took your breath, your function as elements of a certain weight and pH factor to move on time all the time, you are a frequency.